what's up, everybody? This is Josh Turner, and you're listening to the Called Podcast.
This is Called, equipping church leaders for ministry and life.
Well, if you have looked at the news or paid attention to media, you can tell that the world is in a little bit of a different state right now. And one of the things that we've talked about over and over this season on the Called Podcast is how, you know, this season is going to be different. We're going to do things that are a little bit different, whether it's just interviews or roundtables, whatever the case may be. Well, with everything going on in the world and with everything that we are facing, we wanted to do a special episode, and we really wanted to look at what's happening with the coronavirus. From three different perspectives of churches, and not only what we can do as churches for the community, but man, some of you guys that are listening to this, I just think of my good friend Charles Young. Man, he planted a church 3 weeks ago and now he can't have church for a while. And so how do all of us, like, what are the best practices? What are we seeing that's out there? And so, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Pastor Reverend Jason Laird is with us.
Hey.
And then I have one of my really good friends. Some would say that I'm his spiritual father. He pastors up in
Spirit
DC
animal, more like.
At Metro.
I think you say that.
I do. It's a self-proclaimed title. At Metro Church, Pastor Charlie Dawes. Say hello, Charlie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
And then
Charlie actually looks like a rapper right now with that shaved head and the little his Beats by Dre's. You look great,
little
man.
Little Moby.
Listen, like if I need to
Moby, you know, put on some techno and just get after it.
Yeah, if I need to. I mean, let me know. We got to stay versatile in these coronavirus
streets. And man, we're honored also to have really, I think, a huge influence for all three of us on this call. I know in my own life, the executive director of ARC, Pastor Bishop Dino Rizzo.
Good to be here with you, brothers. Good to be on the call.
And so here's what we want to do just for a little bit, man. I want to talk through, like, we all have different perspectives in this, right? Especially you three. I really don't have a dog in the fight anymore. But you three, I mean, Jason, you're in San Francisco. You are mobile. You don't have a church building. Y'all are still in that new church startup. Charlie, y'all are in DC. You've got a church building, but you also are figuring some things out. And then Pastor Dino, you oversee tons of different churches, small, big, large, and also a church planting organization. And so, Jason, here's what I want to do. I want to start with you. What are you doing and what are you seeing in San Francisco? Because you guys are kind of like, I think that's patient zero is San Francisco, yeah, in America. And so, man, what are you doing? What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, I could be wrong. I mean, obviously, I only know my context here, but it feels like the things that are kind of rippling out to the rest of the nation, it feels like there's a couple of days we're a little bit ahead. And so, like, even 2 weeks ago, we sort of knew that they'd be shutting down churches on the weekend. So we were able to gather our team. Luckily, we were able to gather our team, get a little plan for the weekend. And so we were able to shoot pre-record some of our services or whatever. But now we're in the place where we're trying to figure out how do we serve our city, not just pull off a service, but how do we serve our city and serve the needs of some of the first responders, the medical teams, and some of those folks in the middle of, like, it literally feels like every single moment there's news coming out that there's more and more shutdowns of different things. As a matter of fact, as we started, I got a text saying that the mayor is going to call for a shutdown tonight at midnight. So if you need any groceries, you need anything, then go and get it today. So we're just in the middle of trying to figure out, how do we serve our church well? How do we serve our city well? And I think that people are doing all sorts of different things. I mean, I know one church, they went on a church-wide Zoom call for their Sunday service, and they said they had about 250 people on a Zoom call together. So there's a lot of unique things that are happening. We're just kind of responding and trying to lead to the best of our ability.
So what does it look like for you right now? And Pastor Dino, I'd like for you to talk to this as well, but what does it look like for you with the size that your church is? You're a startup church in San Francisco. And Pastor Dino, I know you know a lot of the smaller churches that are facing the same thing. What does it look like for you practically? Because you're not going to have the massive, huge resources of, you know, a Gateway or a Church of the Highlands or whatever. So what does it look like practically for you right now to serve the community that you're in? And so, Jason, what are you doing? And then, Pastor Dino, what are you seeing with some other churches?
Yeah. So, I mean, up until this point, we've been able to still have our small groups. So that's been strong. But now with the shutdown, we're not going to be able to do that. So what we're talking about is doing small groups through Zoom. And so we're going to equip our leaders to be able to still have their small group, but they'll basically just set up computers and we'll Zoom in together. That's how we'll do that. We have some gear already set up to where we'll be able to record our Sunday service. But like I said, the biggest thing is I think we're going to be able to still serve our church well. We'll have to get creative. But I think the biggest challenge for us, we're trying to figure out is how we're going to serve some of the needs outside so that we can still be a church that's not just for our church, but for the city. So we're going to still do our small groups. We kind of got lucky. We pre-recorded our growth track. We pre-recorded all these things months back, not even knowing that this was going to happen. It's kind of been shelved a little bit. And now we're like, okay, thank you, Lord, for giving us a little bit of insight to do that then. So we're just going digital, man. This is a digital church. But, you know, here's the thing is I'm really excited because I feel like there's this scripture that we read this past weekend. It talks about when everything gets shaken, what remains is what's essential. And it's interesting that the government's been using language of non-essential gatherings. Well, I think as a church, we're going to be forced to think, what is non-essential and what's essential? And how do we creatively keep doing what's essential for us to, you know, for spiritual formation for our church, but also for our city? And so we're trying to figure it out right now.
Yeah, yeah. Pastor Dino, what are you seeing as you're talking? Because I know you're kind of the guy that I've learned in the church world right now that when anything goes sideways, somebody's like, get me Dino Rizzo. you're the guy that exactly. They're calling. And so what are you seeing here and whatever?
Well, I mean, Jason, I can remember, and this is a very micro macro example of what we went through in Katrina. That was a hurricane that was localized, regionalized. So in no way is that a comparison to the pain and the problem of what hundreds of thousands of churches are navigating right now. But the one thing that did happen was all schedule, all standard operating procedures were thrown out the door. There is no playbook. The playbook is responding daily to changing news, fear, realities, and truth. So first off, I think you've got to realize is, okay, what has worked up to this point probably cannot work the same way. So like Jason saying, hey, we got to go digital. Hey, we need to put a few sermons in the can. Hey, we need to figure out how to do small groups through Zoom. I think you got to start thinking out of the norm. And that's what we're encouraging guys to do. A couple of practical things is the best way you can be a good neighbor is to practice, you know, the things you need to do not to spread sickness. And so make sure you're not a proponent of that and you're being careful and conscious and realize this is real. And so let's try to practice, you know, being walking the way we should with being cleanly and hygiene and all those kind of things. And then I think the other thing is you're just looking for small ways to make a difference, because it's not like we can go hold tent rallies. We can go out and do massive distribution. We're coming alongside of service providers. We're coming alongside of our food bank. We're making calls to people that we've done partnerships with in our community. I know Jason, I talked a lot about that. They've got some great partnership with churches in San Francisco. So you're coming alongside of people who do this all the time. So that's what I'm encouraging smaller churches to do. Even us at Highlands, all of our campuses, call your food bank. Get a hold of your service providers. Check on the most vulnerable. Try to figure out who are the ones that are going to be affected the most in this time. The poor, the needy, the vulnerable. So it's just kind of leaning in. If that's what I'm telling guys, lean and think through it now. Who is being affected? Every city's a little different. Every group of people is a little different. And so you got to think through that in your own community. A lot of in our situation, we have a lot of schools that are still providing lunch and breakfast for kids. So they're doing drop offs. So we're supporting that in one area, where another place, maybe the schools are not providing that. And what you need is groceries. What you need is supporting the medical and the ones that are doing lab. Right now, we're a testing site for the virus. That's a massive deal that we're doing, supporting the medical world. But also, we're trying to make sure that people in our church that need benevolence or are having a situation, we're still able to answer their questions, and we're being oversensitive to the needs of people around us. And so it's just a lot. I mean, we've never seen anything like this And it's going to take more than just a church. It's the church responding.
Hey, Pastor Dion, one of the things that has been super helpful for me on the ground here is you started a text thread with a group of, I don't know, 25 plus pastors that were all friends, kind of spread out all across the U.S. But it's been very, very helpful for me to be able to see what are other guys doing, and it sparked some ideas for us. And I've even started a local text thread with about 20 or 30 pastors locally here. And that's been really helpful just to be able to share some ideas. What are you seeing? What are you doing? And I don't know if you want to speak to that a little bit about some of the ideas that are getting kicked up even from that, and how maybe even some advice on how some pastors can be able to do the same thing.
And Charlie, I'd like for you to share after Pastor Dino, like you and I talked this morning on the phone, and that's why I wanted you on this podcast, because what you talked about of how you guys are dividing up the church and Morgan's doing all that as well. So Pastor Dino, why don't you answer Jason, and then Charlie, I'd love for you to tell everybody kind of what you're doing, because I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, Jason. I mean, it's just key to connect because so often you look at a situation like this, you wonder, okay, what's next? And then someone else is all of a sudden at more ground zero than you. It's kind of coming your way. So the idea of exchanging collaborative idea, and then I can modify and contextualize it. I know Dave Summerall is working a lot up underneath the medical world and his doctors. We have a doctor here in Birmingham that we're working alongside of with him. I had a conversation yesterday with a guy that's running the lab. And just getting around him and giving him support, giving him some Wi-Fi. One of the labs, all they needed was an increased Wi-Fi signal and that they could process people three times more than they were doing. Well, someone in our church is great at increasing Wi-Fi feed. So we were able to connect with them, get a repeater. And he looked at me and said, "You have changed our testing." It was a Wi-Fi tech guy. Wow.
You know, one of the things I love about like what we're doing with some of these large text threads of pastors locally or even regionally is that, Pastor Dino, you remember this. I mean, even with Hurricane Katrina and those different disasters that we faced, churches that maybe were not really partnering together or in relationship before that, on the other side of the storm, on the other side of the crisis, because of coming together and collaborating, it strengthened the relationships between the churches. And I'm believing that's going to happen. Like, who knows when this is going to end, but locally our relationships, I'm just believing it's going to be even closer and tighter. We're going to be able to serve our city even better on the other side of it.
So Charlie, what were you telling me this morning about what you guys are doing to help care for your church locally? And the thing I appreciate about this, like, you know, is sometimes, you know, when you see some of the grand, massive, huge things that churches are able to do, sometimes you're not able to do those things. You can feel like you're not making a difference. You're not impacting your community or even the people in your church. And I loved what you were sharing with me this morning about what you guys are doing at Metro, because it doesn't take, it's not a financial piece. It's like, man, this is how we're going to serve our community. So tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're just going back through our kind of data collection in terms of anyone that has been connected or gotten us their information. Really over the last, 8 months that we kind of have good data on that we can kind of reach out and touch base with. And so what we're doing is we're just taking our staff and then we're taking kind of that first high level sort of leader that's leading groups, or they're leading what we call dinner parties, where they're like gathering and kind of pastoring people. And we're really just dividing our congregation between that group of people. And then that group of people are reaching out and just simply asking a couple of questions. And the first one that they're asking hey, are you okay? Is there anything that you're needing right now? And what can we pray with you for? Because what we know about our area up here in the DMV, the District, Maryland, or Virginia, is we have a high concentration of government employees. We have a high concentration of military personnel that's in our church, and all of them are, they've been told to be sequestered, no more than 5 to 10 people in a room together. And so that is going to do nothing but send that sense of loneliness or that sense of kind of on your own. That's just going to skyrocket. And so we're just trying to head that off at the pass with just presence. And when it can't be physical presence, it can be that digital presence. You can connect with them and just check on them to make sure they're okay. And so that's kind of one of the ways we're just trying to, be present and care for our church at this time.
Well, let me ask you guys this, like, And I'd love for each of you to weigh in. And Jason, you might be the best in this because you are still mobile. But for those churches that you know, let's say that they are, we just went through a wave of church planting, right? In the, in kind of the church planting world, there's a few good times a year that they are to launch, and we just went through one of them. And so what do you do if you're the guy right now and you're pastoring 100 and let's just say 150 people, 130 people, 200 people, and then you get the phone call that your school is shut down and you can't have you can't have church for, let's just give a hypothetical, 6 weeks, and you don't have video equipment. Like, you're not able to stream online. You're not able to get those. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? All that same stuff. And so what would you say? I mean, what would all of you say to that guy or that lady that's out there pastoring saying, man, what am I going to do right now to get this church going, or how do I still serve these people?
Well, the first thing I say, and I don't want to sound super spiritual or cliche, but I do think this is the starting point, is you've got to remind yourself that this is his church, not your church, and that he is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's a prevailing church. It doesn't matter if you're a new church or an old church, it's a prevailing church and it's his church. Yeah, and that's the first thing. Like, that's what I'm doing to myself, saying, you know what? Like, this thing is God, he saw this coming, and I've got to rest in that and find a peace in that. So that's first and foremost. Yep. But practically, you know, you got to, don't wait for what you want, work what you got, right?
Oh, yeah.
So whatever
say
you have,
again,
work
say
that.
Again, yeah.
Don't wait for what you want, work what you got. Hey, Darren Patrick sent a picture to us, a couple of us the other day. I think he maybe posted it as well. It was a guy, looked like an older guy in a suit, sitting on his couch with his laptop in front of him, like he's doing church, right?
Right.
Like, and the news anchor.
But I think that's the picture. It's like, okay, what do you have? What's in your hand? It's like what God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And if that's Facebook Live, there's so much technology out there now. Like, we can do this. It may look different from Sunday, but you still have a message inside of you that God's placed in you as the pastor and the shepherd of your people. And so you've got to get that message to your people, bring pastoral care to them, comfort to them, encouragement to them, equip them. And so that may look like you have some worship, or you may tell your church, hey, you turn on some worship first for the first 20 minutes and you got Spotify, you got whatever worship, and then dial in at this at 10 o'clock and I have a message for you. So I just think we just need to lose like the idea of like what we, if we don't have certain things, like we just need to figure out what is it that we do have.
Well, and I think this is that moment too, man, where we always, as pastors, we have to remember that in these moments, our responsibility isn't to keep up with what the other guy is doing, but our job as pastors is to pastor the people that God has entrusted us with. And so if that, if that's me and my shaky handed son holding an iPhone, you know, recording me, then that's what we're going to do. Like, I'm not worried about what, you know, Jason Laird or anybody else is doing. I'm going to pastor my people. And so,
and here's the thing, your people, they don't
care.
They don't care. They just want to know that you care for them and that you're there for them and that they're not in this thing alone. And so I think that you're right. And, you know, we always tell our congregations, like, God's not going to hold you responsible for what you don't have, but he is for what you do have. In the same way, we got to practice what we've been preaching, is that God's not going to hold me responsible and our Sozo Church responsible for not doing something that Hope City's doing or that iTown Church is doing. But whatever we do have in our house and in our hand, we will be held accountable for what we do with that. We just got to steward what we have well.
Yeah. Pastor Dino, what are your thoughts on that?
Two things I thought was interesting. One is, we planted a church in Philadelphia 3 weeks ago, and he can't meet, no school. Mm-hmm. He's 3 weeks old. He just got these people together. So we connected him with two existing churches that have a heart for the kingdom. He's now meeting there with them. They still can meet in one of their locations, but they feel like they're not going to be able to meet this weekend. But the larger existing churches have social media availability and have online opportunities and have that equipment that you need. So they're letting him use that equipment. And there's about four guys that are going to take turns the next 4 weeks, and all of them are going to rotate and do the message. They're going to share some giving. They still got things to sort out.
Yeah.
I thought, man, that's what it's all about. So a church planner is now going to partner with two existing guys. He's going to get to preach one of the messages. The other thing too, I think, Jason, you know this, Jock, Charles, we all know, we didn't get into this just to meet.
Come on.
No.
I didn't get into ministry just to do meetings.
No.
And so I'm good on Sunday, but I'm way better Monday through Saturday. I got called into ministry to serve broken humanity. and to hurting people. Yeah. And so, yeah, and thank God for the meaning, and thank God that I can preach. And but I can tell you right now, the people will live without seeing you live.
Come on.
And so I can do stuff on Tuesday. And I think schedules are out the door for a few weeks. If I was pastoring today, I wouldn't just do Sundays.
Yeah.
I would be doing Fridays and Thursdays and Saturdays. I would be breaking the church down, what Charlie said, in some type of family care, some type of cell, old school way do you care for people. And we would make it work with what you have in your hand. But I'm encouraging pastors, you're a whole lot better than you think you are Monday through Saturday.
It's like this is forcing us back to the book of Acts to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Like it's
forcing us to really look back at and say, man, what are our churches built on? What are we like?
Yep.
What does it mean to minister to people not from a platform, and is pushing us to the book of the book of Acts? And so, Pastor Gina, I'd like to ask you this: like for those churches that and this may be a little bit loaded question since you're the executive director of ARC, but for those churches that let's say that man, they're not going to be able to make the ends meet right now, or things are going to change for that. Is there some way that we can, you know, maybe someone's listening or whatever is saying like, I'm that guy, I don't know what to do right now. We just planted, I'm that guy in Philadelphia. Is there a way that we can help, you know, connect them to other churches or connect them to places in those cities or in those areas to say, listen, we understand that you may not be able to make the ends meet right now, but we got so-and-so down the street and they're running 30,000 a weekend. And we know that they would love to step in and help walk with you through this financially as well. And here's the reality. We don't know what this means for even a church of 30,000 in the future at this point. And so what are your thoughts on that as guys and girls that are pastoring these churches are probably like, oh Lord, how am I going to pay the bills this week or this month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like if the ship is taking on water and it doesn't matter what floor you're on, you're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
So whether you in the suite, are you in the internal room where there's no windows and your room's about as big as a closet? We're all in the same boat right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, some would just have a little bit different vantage point, a little more square footage, a little more bells and whistles. But so everybody's in the same boat. We all need each other. We've had 51 churches contact us at ARC that have needs and that are concerned about the next couple weeks. So we're trying to figure that out. I think family takes in family.
Always.
So thank God for kingdom-minded people in the country, who pastors that are going to think about that. So we're trying to make those matches, trying to make those connections. I think all of us need to be doing that. Everybody needs to be caring for everyone. And you definitely have got to realize that there are some guys that just are going to need some help. Yeah. And so the larger churches take care of the smaller churches. The older churches take care of the newer churches. And what we said at Katrina was no more logos, no more egos, and let's try to help people.
Yeah, that's great.
Charlie, what are you guys like? You guys are up in, you know, the D.C. area. What is it like up there, you know, with everything going on, with all the government officials, with everybody kind of, does it seem like there's I know, Jason, we've talked about it, you've kind of talked about it on this podcast a little bit, like the increased sense of panic kind of in the area of San Francisco and California. Mm-hmm. But Charlie, what's it been like up in DC? And have you been communicating with some of the other pastors there and saying, man, what do we do with this as we walk through this thing together?
Yeah, some of those conversations are beginning. What's been great for us is we've got people that are, you know, having, you know, 9 and 10 hour meetings per day, kind of talking about this thing. And so I get to kind of, you know, touch base with them after their work day ends. And the intensity is what's pretty unreal. You know, I grew up in kind of a hurricane spot in Florida. And so I know what hurricane feels like.
You had a really good pastor in Florida for a while that really discipled you.
I did. He would
and brought you up.
Some would say he's a spiritual father. Some would say.
I think I know.
Some would say that.
Is that why you shaved your head to be bald like Josh?
It's part of it. Tattoos and shaved head and beard. No. To your point. Yeah. So this feels different. Yeah,
for sure.
And even my wife and I, you know, we looked at each other and we're like, man, I don't want to overstate this, but I don't think we've ever lived in something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is different. Nope. And it's the feeling of whenever, whatever's normal, that's not there any longer. And so it's the in-between space, but when I have to let go of what I'm used to, and before I get to fully grab hold of what the new reality is, there's that in-between, yeah. You know, people talk about that the already, but not yet. You know, we've got a playbook for this. You can look throughout church history, sure. And you can see that there have been famines, there have been plagues, yeah. There have been all sorts of disasters that have hit the world, and the church has flourished. The church was birthed out of death and resurrection. The church then grew under extreme persecution, you know, in the book of Acts that you talked about. And so the thing that called all of us to ministry were probably these New Testament churches, these New Testament stories that we read about. And so now it actually comes down to where the pastor and the leader has to go, okay, I now have to do the thing I always felt called to do, sure. But I actually haven't been required to do because the system provided me some sexy bells and whistles.
Yeah.
That created a larger wave that could get you from Sunday to Sunday. If your Sunday experience is cracking, it can create a big enough wave to carry you through the week, and then you just got to show up again and do it again. Well, now we don't have that. So it's like, from what Pastor Dino and what Jason's saying is, now my once a week message, that don't cut it. How am I bringing manna in the wilderness to our congregation? How do I bring them something each day that's going to encourage them? Because here's the thing, and I saw this just a couple hours ago. I was listening to the new song that Rita Springer put out called Midnight. And it's been on repeat in our home because I think it sets a reminder. I don't know about my kids and I don't know what my wife needs, but good Lord, I need it. And so it's been on repeat. So I literally just shared that in an Insta story, and I've had four or five people respond in the first 5 or 10 minutes it was up, asking about the song, asking if there's like a playlist that we can send to them that can help them. So as we speak, our team is literally creating a playlist that we believe is going to help right-size people's, as Marshawn Lynch would say, their mentals.
Pastor Dino, you have a Corona playlist too. It's like Bell Biv DeVoe,
yeah, a little boy,
like Jodeci,
yeah, Vanilla a
little
Ice,
shy, a little shy,
Vanilla
there.
Ice.
What's that? Keith Sweat,
little Poison.
So
I have a question. Can I throw something out there, Josh? Yeah. Do you mind if I
go for it,
Pastor Dino? This is something that was really helpful to me. I'm not sure about the other pastors, but in that thread that you started early on, you said, hey guys, you need to be mindful of the optics. You kept using that language, mindful of the optics, the way that your community is going to see you in this. And you said, you cannot just go through and try to do church as normal, just even as practical as you said, don't whatever series you have planned. I know this is may just say this is someone's opinion, but I think it was very wise. It helped us. You said, if you have some series plan, you need to just can that, throw it out the window, and you got to speak to where your people are at. And we actually changed and pivoted because you said that. And I can't tell you how many people responded and said, thank you for speaking right to where we're at right now, because their mind space was not in our Easter ramp up series. Their mind space is not even into Easter. Like they're not, people at our church are not thinking, are we going to have Easter? I'm thinking that, but they're not. And so just being mindful of that. Could you speak to that a little bit? Like how we as pastors can make sure that we're not, you know,
well, our first step can't be the church and us. And the first step always has to be Jesus. The second step is the people. Jesus, the people. Jesus, the people. When you're stepping those steps, Jesus and the people, and this is not a shameless plug. I just see that with the guy that I call Pastor Chris Hodges. He just loves God with all of his heart and then just loves people, and we'll sort out the church stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. But yeah, you can't, you know, it's not like, okay, well, I was doing a parenting series, or, you know, I'm really concerned about how this is going to affect our album we're recording, or what is this going to look like for us as it relates to planning a new campus? Well, those things are huge. Those things are massive. What's important right now is waitresses that are not going to work. Trainers that are not going to be able to train. Single moms that have a job and they thought their kids were going to be at school. The elderly who are fearful. All these different things are legit. So our first step is people. That's what's eternal. People are eternal. So how am I communicating us them, there.
Yeah.
We lead with the right words because that's what our true heart is. So I hate not meeting. Man, I'm a meeting guy. Jason, you remember, man, I met through Katrina. We met when there was no power.
Yeah.
I will just hook up a generator and throw a spot. I will, man, give me a karaoke machine. I will preach on it. But at the end of the day, you know, if they don't hear from me or meet with me for a week or two, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They're going to make it.
Yeah.
And they'll live. There's a lot of good preaching out there people can tune into. What they need is our love, our prayer, our care, our concern, our thinking about them. And so that's really where that comes from, is make sure your first step is not, how does this affect us, the church, our team, what we're doing? No. How is this affecting them?
Yeah. What the crazy perspective I got the other day was, as I was stressing about putting my message together for our pre-recording in the parking lot at Safeway, there was an elderly couple that sat in their car for literally an hour and a half with a little crack in their window, yelling, trying to get someone to come to their car to, and you know, it's like, that's happening here. That's happening all over. It's like those stories like that. It's like, gives you perspective.
Well, like, I think, if we're not careful in it, and this is, you know, maybe I have a little cynicism in my heart as it is anyway, and you gentlemen know me. And, but as you go through Instagram, if you're not careful, what it can end up looking like is you're taking a crisis and using it to promote a personal agenda. And that is not like, and I don't think that would ever be anybody's heart, hopefully, but man, we really do need to make sure that not just as individuals and pastors, but as the church collectively, like as Jesus, as the sons and daughters of God and the sons and daughters, like that we are collectively saying, man, that this isn't about us now at this moment. This is about us focusing on those that are far away from Jesus and serving them. And I would just say to all the pastors out there, man, you just need to be very, just be wise, like Pastor Dino and Jason were saying, and Charlie, like, be wise about what you're putting out there. Be wise about the optics, the way that it looks.
Big time.
Because, man, you don't want to look like that used car salesman. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even like, you know, I've seen some guys, and not to throw any shade, but I've seen some guys make really light of this moment with some jokes and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, but I think you got to really be careful with that, with on your social media and things like that. I know some people are trying to make, you know, bring some humor into a challenging situation, but we got to remember there's people that are, you know, it's not funny, you know, to what they're walking through and how they're being affected. So we got to really be mindful of some of those things.
Yeah. So let me ask this, like on a spiritual, I feel like we've talked about the practical a lot on this podcast, and we've talked about what we're doing, what we're seeing. And, you know, this is a place where we talk about, as pastors all the time, we talk about faith and we talk about hope and we talk about all these things. But I mean, like, there are people, Jason, just like you said, they are freaking out. I mean, my parents, I was telling Charlie, we were kind of laughing about it today. You know, my parents are older. My dad's got leukemia and heart problems. Like, if the coronavirus had a target, it's him. Like, that's who it is. And they're locked down. I mean, I have a special needs little girl that has a tracheostomy that had surgery a week ago. We're locked down. Charlie said, my house is like the Willy Wonka factory. Nobody in or out. Like, we're just locked in. And so when you look at it, and you look at it in the context of the spiritual and the faith, man, how is it our responsibility as pastors to lead in this? Because, you know, not be so full of faith that we're foolish. Does that make sense? Like, is that the right phrase to say? But not be so like, you know, everything's going to be okay. We don't need to worry about anything. But what's the best way to walk that line of, hey guys, we need to take this very seriously, but also in this, God is really good and Jesus is with us. So Charlie, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah. I saw the A.W. Tozer quote that I think we're all probably familiar with by now, but it says, you know, like in a scared world, you know, they need a fearless church.
Yeah.
And I think all of us, we're, you know, we follow Jesus in our personal lives, but we also, we can't forget that we're also representing him.
Yeah.
And so I was reminded, I was talking with my kids the other day, like, there's this story where the disciples are in a storm and Jesus is on the boat and they are terrified. And Jesus is sound asleep, not because he's distant, yep, and not because he's not present, and not because he's not aware of what's going on in his location, but the relationship that he has with the Father allows him to even find rest in the middle of an incredible yep storm. And so yeah, that then allows him to step to the bow of the boat and then speak to the elements. And so I think for us, that's the rhythm. I think we have to, you can't give away what you don't have, and you can't hide who you really are. And so for us, we have to give away the peace that we have and we've cultivated. We give that away, and then we can actually step into situations,
yeah,
and just be with. We're probably not going to be able to step, you know, to the, you know, edge of the curb and speak coronavirus away. But I think what we have to do is kind of take people by the hand and walk them along the process. Maybe it is buying groceries for the yeah elderly couple. Yeah. Maybe it is for us. We're having a real conversation with one of our volunteers, works at the hospital in DC that is really like the ground zero. And they've already been having conversations with them on the ethical decisions that they're going to have to make on giving treatment to some and then not giving treatment to others if this continues to outbreak the way that they are. So for us, we realize not only are we going to have to help them walk through that moment, but we're already trying to figure out how we can come alongside and even provide pastoral and spiritual care to some of those hospital workers that are having to make some of those decisions in real time, bringing some relief to them. And so again, I just think presence and walking alongside, we don't get to dictate what it looks like around us, but we get to reflect the Jesus in us.
So good. Yeah, I was just thinking about, it's interesting that whenever Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, I want you to be, remember, wise as serpents, tender as doves. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. talked about that. There's got to be this tension managed between toughness and tenderness. I think in the current reality that we're at, it's that. It's like we have got to be wise. We've got to be prudent and diligent and thoughtful and all those things. And at the same time, we can't abandon our post as those that carry the compassion of Jesus, those that are the hands and feet of Jesus to a hurting world. But we also can't abandon wisdom and abandon being thoughtful and those things. So that's where we're at as a church. We're trying to constantly, our leadership team, we're trying to constantly meet and say, okay, how can we manage that tension there? And to still express the compassion of Jesus and also lead our church in a very wise way.
I just want to say this, like, and this is through stuff that I've walked through in my past with having our daughter and all that stuff. Like, it's okay. Like, you're going to be a little scared, right? That doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean that, like,
right,
you don't trust Jesus. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. Like, you're at the end of the day too, like, let's remember, you have some human emotions. And when you watch the news and you see what's going on, there is going to be a little fear. There is going to be a little scaredness in those moments, but that just don't allow that to cause you to beat yourself up. Like, you don't trust Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. And I've walked through a lot of that stuff, in my past. And I just want you to know, like, faith is bigger than all this, and Jesus is bigger than all this. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about this, and we've all kind of hit on this a little bit, this is the moment where you see, I think, the church for what the church is. And you see, Christianity for what Christianity is. And God, I truly believe, because I've seen it happen time and time again in my life. And I know all the stuff that all four of us on this call have walked through different seasons. God, somehow, it's that Romans 8:28. That God's going to take it and he's going to work it for good. And sometimes in the midst of it, we don't understand how that's all going to play out and work out. But man, what I always have to remind myself in every situation of life, God isn't sitting on the throne freaking out right now about coronavirus. You know what I mean? Like, he's not surprised by this. And so, I hope this podcast helps so many of you out there. Do either three of you, do y'all have anything to add as we kind of close out this episode?
I want to say, man, that Jason and guys like Kim and Charlie, I know to me and you, Josh, we're serving the church and they're the heroes.
Yeah,
because,
for sure.
It's all different. It all changes now. And, but it's okay, because we're the best in these moments. We do preach. We do get to do all this, but man, we're leaders, and we're leaders that love people. And I just believe that we can step into it like crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Can I read something, Josh? This is just kind of a scripture that I've been kind of hanging on to. It's over in Psalms 112. It says, it talks about, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. And in the end, they will look back on their adversaries and triumph. And then it goes on and it talks about they will continue to be generous. And I'm just believing that, like, for all of our churches, that we'll be steadfast, continue to trust in the Lord. We're not going to be shaken in this. And on the other side of it, because it's going to end.
Yeah.
When it ends, we're going to look back on this as the church, and we're going to be able to stand from a posture of victory. And it's going to come through us continuing to be generous, compassionate, and loving. And like, I know for me, being in a city like San Francisco, that has been violently opposed to and resistant towards the church, we have an opportunity. I feel that we have an opportunity to actually regain some trust with our city and with an area that has been opposed to church and to Christians. This is a great opportunity for our church. And I know it's for churches all over. And so I'm actually, there's some level of excitement that I actually feel during this time, that we have an opportunity to regain trust with our city so that we can share the gospel with people.
Yeah. Well, hey, I just want to thank so much Pastor Jason, Pastor Charlie, and Pastor Dino for being on this episode of the Called Podcast with us as we really tackle a tough topic of what's going on in the church, and not just the church, but the world. And, you know, our prayer for the Called Podcast is that we don't want to just be a podcast that you listen to. We actually want to always put resources in your hands. You know, we're kind of sponsored, and this is brought to you by our friends at One Hope. And so Rob, the CEO of One Hope and One Hope, we put together a resource for you guys to really help you be able to still do community when you're physically apart. And so if you would go to onehope.net/called, we have a free resource for you called Still Together. And we really hope that this will help you and give you some practical tools to continually develop community when you're not able to be physically together. And so, as always, listen, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Called Podcast. And if you're on Facebook, you go to facebook.com/called podcast. We love you guys. Stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Relevant Podcast Network.